Why? It's a very important question. Why? Especially when it's asked to God. Do you ever ask God why? Have you ever? I suppose that for most of us, when we think of a time in our life when we ask God why, it was in a season of crisis, a time of loss or disappointment. And we said, God, why? Why is this happening? Why is this so? Isn't it interesting how seldom we ask God why in seasons of abundance or blessing? When we have plenty, when things are well with us. On those kind of occasions, do you find yourself asking God why? Why am I so blessed? That's a good question to ask. A few Christmases ago, I was sitting next to my niece, and I had just one or two gifts, and she had a big pile of gifts. And I leaned over and I said, Addie, whispered, why do you have so many gifts? And she kind of shrugged and said, I guess because I've been so good. Is it as simple as that? Is that why we're so blessed? Listen, let's acknowledge that if we put ourselves in the context of the whole world, we are a people incredibly blessed. Why? Why has God so blessed us? Psalm 67 is a song in the Old Testament that I think deals with this question of why. And it teaches us that God blesses us on purpose for His purpose. Psalm 67. Now, let me acknowledge that if you've been paying attention at all over the past 12 years, you might recognize that I've preached Psalm 67 before. In truth, I preach it every third year because this is a psalm that ought to mark us in this season. And I want it to be, in many ways, our psalm, something that we're all familiar with and we understand is an important part of who we are as the people of God. Psalm 67, you follow along as I read. God be gracious to us and bless us and cause His face to shine upon us, that Your way may be known on the earth, Your salvation among all nations. Let the peoples praise You, O God. Let all the peoples praise You. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for You will judge the peoples with uprightness and guide the nations on the earth. Let the peoples praise You, O God. Let all the peoples praise You. The earth has yielded its produce. God, our God, blesses us. God blesses us that all the ends of the earth may fear Him. One of the interesting things about Psalm 67 is that as we study it, it's fairly easy to reconstruct how the song was used, its context. It's a harvest song. It's a part of a Thanksgiving celebration like this time of the season for us. Verse 6 says, the earth has yielded its produce. And so we can imagine in a time of harvest, people bringing in their crops and then bringing their first fruits, a portion of that harvest, to the temple to celebrate God's blessings, God's faithfulness to them in the harvest. And we know that most any time the people of God gathered together in festival, that before the congregation left, in obedience to Moses, the high priest would put God's name on the people and would bless them. He would say, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance on you and give you peace. And so I imagine the psalmist walking away from that harvest festival, thinking about God's blessing, material and spiritual, and composing this song. It starts with an echo of Aaron's blessing, doesn't it, in verse 1? When he thinks back and says, God be gracious to us and bless us and cause His face to shine upon us. You know, we don't know what Selah means. Maybe some sort of musical interlude. I like to imagine it being a time when the psalmist thinks. And I'm pretty sure that what he's wondering is why. Why does God bless us? And the reason I'm so confident that that's the question in his mind is because that's the answer that comes from his pen in verse 2. When after the pause he says, that your way may be known on all the earth, your salvation among the nations. That introduces a statement of purpose, a direct response to the question, why? Why did God bless His people Israel? Why does God bless His people the church? That the nations may know His way and His salvation. And see here, Psalm 67 is echoing the promise that God made to Abraham. You might not have grown up in as silly a church as I grew up, but when I was a little boy, sometimes we would march and sing, Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. How many of you sang that song when you were a little boy? I am one of them, and so are you, so let's just praise the Lord. You want me to do the motions, or can you remember? Why is it that our parents and grandparents taught their children and grandchildren to sing, Father Abraham had many sons. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's praise the Lord. It's because it's important that we understand that what we experience in Christ Jesus, the blessing we know in Christ Jesus, is connected to the promise of God to Abraham. Do you remember in the first 11 chapters of the book, Genesis 1 through 11, the whole world falls apart because of the sin of Adam, fragmented, separated, divided. And in chapter 12, God says, I'm going to put this back together and I'm going to start with Abraham. And I'm going to bless Abraham. And through Abraham, I'm going to bless every family of the earth. And consistently from that point on, we discover that God uses His people. He blesses His people, not just so that they will be blessed, but so that we will be a blessing. And this is what verse 2 is echoing. God blesses us. He keeps us. He makes His face shine upon us. Why? So that His way will be known in all the earth, among all the nations. And so the chorus of the psalm in verse 3 says, let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Well, it's the chorus. It's repeated again in verse 5. And it's important that you notice a couple of things about the vocabulary here that is obscured sometimes. One is that plural word, peoples, that sounds funny to us, doesn't it? Let the peoples praise you. In fact, some of our English translations try to make it sound better. They drop the S. And it sounds like a call to worship for the congregation to praise Him. But that's not what it is. Let the peoples praise Him. Let all the peoples. It's a proclamation for Israel to cause the Gentiles to praise His name. Or for us, it's a call for the people of God to be concerned not just for ourselves, but the people of every tribe and tongue and nation. Not just us, but let all the peoples praise Him. And I want you to know, this word praise is an important word. The most common word used in the Old Testament that we translate praise is a word you know. It's the word hallel. It means to brag, to boast. That's not this word. This word that's translated praise in almost all our English translations is a different word. It's okay to translate it praise, but it doesn't mean to brag, to boast. It means to know, to acknowledge, to confess. So in verse 2, we learn that the purpose behind God's blessings is that all the nations know. And verse 3 says, let all the peoples know you, confess you, acknowledge you, embrace you for who you are. Know you as you've revealed yourself to us. Let all the peoples know you and give thanks, confessing your name. This is the purpose behind God's blessing. Look at verse 4. Verse 4 says, let all the nations be glad and sing for joy. Listen, that's a prayer that every child of God should pray. Every time we watch the news or read the newspaper, and we read about the violence in Nigeria or the oppression in Syria, we read about hunger or starvation or darkness, let the nations rejoice, Lord. Let them be glad. And look at these two simple truths about the Lord that the psalmist affirms. We take them for granted. For you will judge the peoples with uprightness and guide the nations on the earth. Isaiah's prophecy that the Roberts read affirmed this. One of the reasons we rejoice is because we know there is a God, our Creator, our Redeemer, who is a judge. He's a righteous judge. And He'll judge all peoples with fairness, with righteousness. Do you think there are any people in this world among the nations who would be glad to hear this word? And He is the faithful shepherd who guides us. He has purpose and direction in our lives. These truths we take for granted would cause a world that sits in darkness to lift up her head and rejoice. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Listen, Christian. After Jesus died on the cross and rose from the grave, and He gathered together those believers and commanded them, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. He wasn't coming up with new material. That wasn't a fresh idea. This call to the nations is as old as Abraham. And Jesus is saying, now, in me, through the power of my death and resurrection, let's get busy with the promise of God so that all the nations would be blessed. And the peoples would praise Him. Let all the peoples praise Him. This is the gospel call. So in verse 6 and 7, the earth has yielded its increase, its abundance, its produce, material blessings. But more than that, God, our God, blesses us. His covenant blessings, spiritual blessings. God blesses us. Why? That all the ends of the earth may fear Him. And of course, the word fear is a word that calls us to live in right relationship with the Lord God, our King, to know Him, to serve Him, to respect Him, to rejoice in glad submission. God blesses us on purpose, for His purpose, and that purpose is that the peoples would know Him. Kidner, a great Old Testament commentator, calls this Psalm 67 the spreading circle of thanksgiving. That the material blessings of God in the lives of His people spreads to be the spiritual blessings in the world. That God's goodness to me extends to others. That my celebration at my Thanksgiving table should spread to all the nations. Because it's not just His provision for me, but it's His purpose among every tribe and tongue. That they would know Him and rejoice in Him as do we. Why does God bless us? Why is it that we, a nation with free access to the gospel, also have such abundant resources? That the peoples would know Him. This needs to be our song. I want to read it together one time, and I want to read it in parts, likely the way it was written. We're going to read it in three parts. I'm going to be the priest, and I need some people to be the elders. Let's say everyone 70 or older. I'm not going to check any IDs or hold anyone accountable. But if you'd like to read that part, you read the part of the elders. And everyone else, read the part of the congregation. Can you do that? Now listen, I'm not going to make you do this more than once if you do it really well the first time. And I don't have anybody to lead you. I'm going to read my part, and then I need the elders to step in and read their part. The word Selah, that musical note, is in here a couple of times. Don't read it. Just leave it silent. And congregation, you read your part. Let's stand and read our song together. God be gracious to us and bless us and cause His face to shine upon us.
That Your way may be known on the earth, Your salvation among all nations. Praise You, O God. Let all the people praise You. Let the peoples praise You, O God. Let all the peoples praise You.
The earth has yielded its produce. God, our God, blesses us. God blesses us that all the ends of the earth may fear Him. Amen. Be seated. God blesses us on purpose for His purpose. And I'm concerned often that if we neglect His purpose, we might forfeit His blessings. He gives us these blessings for a reason, that the peoples might know Him, rejoice in Him. You know, one of the things that we as a congregation have declared is that we want generosity and faithful stewardship to mark us. We want to be a people who give a lot of money. We want that to mark us as a congregation. God has blessed us. And this season is a season where we give a lot of money. You give a lot of money. We'll finish up our budget year. And next week we're going to break ground on a building. We have $1.7 million left to give on that. On top of that, along with that, in 2014, you as a congregation will give over $1 million to missions causes here in the state and around the world through the cooperative program. Over $1 million. Listen, that's probably twice as much as the next church in Oklahoma, and one of the top two or three churches in the whole world in that way of giving. It's remarkable. And then we come along this morning and say, by the way, we also want to give $350,000 to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering, additionally helping our missionaries carrying the gospel around the world. And why is it we do that to ourselves? Why don't we just take care of ourselves? Why do we keep giving so much of this away? The reason is because we understand why God blesses us so. He blesses us on purpose for His purpose. And His purpose is that all the peoples would know Him and praise His name. You know how when you try to put all the pieces together in a puzzle, you spread those different sizes and shapes out? Before you do anything else, you set that puzzle box top up where you can see the picture, right? So that all those different pieces, you know what it is they're intended to make. Let me this morning set before you a picture that all of the pieces of our lives properly put together will make. Close your eyes for just a moment. Imagine. After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could count, from every nation and all tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, washed and made white in the blood of the Lamb, and palm branches in their hands. And they cry out with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." God blesses us for this purpose. Let the nations rejoice. Father, we thank you for your word. And we praise you. Together as your people, we praise you today because you're our creator and our redeemer. We praise you because you're the righteous judge and the faithful shepherd. We praise you because you love not only people like us, but all the peoples. We praise you because you came to save not only people like us, but people of every tribe and tongue and nation. And we rejoice and give you thanks that you've so blessed us that we can participate in your purpose. I pray, Father, that you'd move and stir in our hearts to embrace not only the blessings, but to embrace your purpose. Let the nations rejoice, Father. Let's continue for a moment with heads bowed and eyes closed. We come to a time of invitation, a time to respond to God's word and God's spirit. Many of you here this morning, your response is to take seriously how you'll give this season according to his purpose, glorifying his name. And some of you may need to come this morning with a public response. In a moment, when we stand and sing, some will come forward because they want to join our church. Some of you maybe come forward because you need to kneel and pray. Some in this congregation, God may be calling you to carry the gospel to the nations. Join the others from our church, literally, who are around the world. This invitation is be your chance to make a commitment like that. And I know in a gathering like this, on this holiday weekend, there are some of you here who've never made a personal commitment to Jesus Christ. And you realize this morning that the one who died on the cross for all the world is the one who died on the cross for you. He wants you to know him, to praise him, to fear him. This invitation would be an opportunity for you to come and make a personal commitment to Christ, experiencing his purpose in your life. We want to give you that opportunity now. As we stand together and sing, you come right away.